Well, what a joy it is to be here at Worth Baptist Church. The first time I heard your pastor preach, I was literally amazed. And every time I hear him preach, I'm more amazed. I'm thinking about just moving here just so I can be a member here, okay? And thank you, dear people, and thank you, Pastor, for inviting me to come. And thank you for the beautiful room that I've enjoyed over at the Hampton Inn. That's my home away from home. In fact, I've spent more days in Hampton Inn this year than I have at my own house, okay? But thank you for the basket and all the good things that you've done, all the food we've eaten, and it's just been a wonderful time. Thank you most of all for listening to me preach. This morning at the end of the service, and do they have the cards already, Pastor? They're going to get them, okay? This morning at the end of the service, everyone will get a card like this, end of the Sunday school hour, okay? And it's my faith promise commitment for world evangelism. Now, I know you can read, but I'm going to read it for you anyway, okay? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, 15 through 16, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. Now, Paul is a missionary. He's writing to a local church, and he says, when your faith is increased. And so that gives us the idea that once we begin to give to missions, probably every year, we should increase our giving. Now, notice the next thing. Independence upon God, and that is a very important statement. It's not what you can do yourself, but what God can do for and through you. Independence upon God's provision, I will endeavor to give X number of dollars each week toward the worldwide missionary work of Worth Baptist Church, believing that if I am willing, God is able. And that's what the Bible says. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And according to that verse, everybody, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, everybody ought to give something to missions every week above the regular tithe and offering. So on the card that you'll be turning in, the part of it, it's perforated, so you can tear the card in two like that. Now, don't tear it up. Just tear it in two, okay? And on that card, here's a promise. I am presently tithing. Now, that's many of you. I'm sure that would be true. But maybe you've never started tithing. And by the way, the faith promise is above and beyond your regular tithe and offering to your church. So then it says, if you're not, by God's grace, I will start tithing. Hey, by the way, don't cheat yourself and don't cheat God. Amen. The Bible says, will a man rob God? And when I heard that, I thought, man, I don't want to rob anybody, but I really want to rob God. And when Pastor Jones said, if you don't tithe, you're robbing God. And I thought many times, if you don't tithe, you're not only robbing God, you're robbing yourself, okay? Because then he's made that great promise, and see if I'll not open the winds of heaven, pour you out a blessing, you'll not be able to receive it, okay? So at the end of the service, everybody, here are some amounts on here. Goes all the way from $1 a week to $100 a week. Now, it doesn't mean that that's the top you can give, okay? Because there's a place for other. And in other words, and I'm sure that as long as you've been doing Faith Promise, probably several of you are giving more than $100 a week to missions. So now be sure when you put others there that you put your decimal point in the right place, okay? There's a difference between 100 than it is 1.00, okay? So just be sure you get your decimal point in the right place. And the only thing in the world this is used for, there's no place there for your name. You're not making a pledge to the church. Sometimes they mess it up by saying it's a pledge. It's not a pledge. If you made a pledge and you didn't pay it, then somebody could send you an overdue notice. I heard about one fellow kept getting overdue notices. And he got one time and said, "This is your final notice." And he looked at it and he said, "Thank God they finally sent out the last one." Okay. But, all this card is, there's no place for your name and so forth. So it's a promise between you and God. Now, it doesn't mean that it's not important to keep that promise. It is. But it's a promise between, not between you and the church and so forth. So, and by the way, again, let me emphasize, it's not something you have to do. It's something you get to do. Amen. I mean, God is doing some great things all around the world. And through faith promise, I can have a part. Now think about this. When you make a faith promise and you give that, then you're having a part in every missionary that is supported by Worth Baptist Church. And that's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Okay, open your Bibles today to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I want to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning on the subject of investing in eternity. Investing in eternity. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, the Bible says, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust the corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Okay? Now, really, what Jesus is saying here, now think about this. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, probably all of that page is red letters. That's the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching his disciples. Look at chapter 5 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them." Now, what's the Sermon on the Mount? I've heard people say every once in a while, "Well, I know I'm saved because I keep the Ten Commandments." And you just lied, okay? And then you broke all the commandments because when you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all of them, okay? I've heard other people say, "Well, I live by the Sermon on the Mount, so I'm going to heaven." And every time I hear that, I've never done it. I'm a coward, but I often want to just walk up and slap them on one side of the face and see if they turn the other cheek, okay? But it's not written to tell people how to get saved. He's training his disciples. Now, Jesus is God, as much God as if he had not been man. But he was also man, as much man as if he had not been God. So he's not 50% God. He's 100% God, 100% man. Now, being God, he knows that after he leaves his disciples, that he's going to meet with them time after time after he is crucified and buried and resurrected from the grave. He's going to meet with his disciples time after time. And when you read the post-resurrection ministry of the Lord, time after time he makes statements like this: "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. You shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." In other words, the emphasis of the resurrected Christ was, take this message to the entire world. Now, in this chapter that we're going to look at today, I want us to notice three things, okay? Number one, I want us to think about our position. Our position. Look down at verse 26. Verse 26. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Look at the word Heavenly Father. Hey, by the way, don't make fun of bird watchers. Jesus said, look at them, okay? Be a bird watcher, okay? But here's what I want you to think. Your Heavenly Father, if you read all of chapter 6, 12 times you'll find the word Father. And you know what Jesus wants his disciples to know? And you know what he wants you and I to know this morning? He wants us to know that we have a Heavenly Father. I was born the first time, May the 30th, 1933. Doesn't take you long to figure. I'm 89 years old. And I know some of you are surprised. You said, I thought you were 109. I was born into abject poverty. My dad worked in the coal mines, made practically nothing. We didn't have Florida wall-to-wall flooring or wall-to-wall carpet. We didn't have indoor plumbing. We did not have electricity, no electric lights. We had to watch television in the dark, okay? We had no telephone. We had no automobile. We had nothing that we think is necessary for us today. I was born in abject poverty. 1949, the third Sunday night, or Saturday night in October, I went to a Youth for Christ meeting, trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I was born again. Amen. Now, to tell you the truth, I'd never heard the term born again. But I put my faith in Jesus Christ, and I found out later I was born again. Amen. Guess what? I was born to a very wealthy father. God became my father. These things are written in you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. The Bible says, Jesus, he came into his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Think about that. Now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Is that a great position or not? You have a heavenly Father. And he owns the entire universe. He created it. It was created by him and for him. I only have two children, so my wife and I were not scriptural, okay? The Bible says multiply and replenish the earth. And all we did was replace ourselves, okay? I remember when our son, Tim, when he was in, you know, up through the fourth, fifth grade, he was one of the shorter kids in the class. And all of a sudden, he started growing. It's like somebody put fertilizer in his shoes. And you know, you buy him a new suit, and it'd be too small in a hurry. Trousers, they'd be too short. And he ate like a horse. You couldn't fill him up. If somebody would come to Tim and they say, Tim, don't you worry about food. Don't you worry about clothes. Don't you worry about... No. And you know what Tim would have said? That's not my problem. That's my dad's problem. Amen. And guess what? As best I know how, I provided to Tim. What are you worrying about? Hey, all you got to do is find out what God wants you to do and do it. And depend on your heavenly Father. Tim sent me a Father's Day card one time. Said to my dear dad, who would give me his last daughter, from your son, who would take it, okay? by the way, at one time, Tim had four children. Three of them were in college. And I thought, that's his problem, amen? What goes around comes around. Hey, you have a heavenly Father. All I've got to do is find out what God wants me to be, where God wants me to be, what God wants me to give, and then do that. And I can depend on my heavenly Father to provide for me. Huh? This morning, you're going to make a faith promise commitment card. It's not just a matter of what you can do. The Bible says, every man as he purposeth in his heart. You've prayed about it. You're thinking about it and so forth. You've had plenty of time to do that. And this morning you'll make your commitment. Every man according to as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. So you have a heavenly Father. Now look at verse 19 and 20 again. And here he's not talking about our position, but he's talking about our priorities. And in verse 19, he urges us, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. In verse 19, he says, don't get too heavily concerned and involved in earthly temporal things. Why? It's temporary. It's only going to last for a little while. Okay. And anything that I call mine or you call your, anything bad can happen to it. And then one day when we die or when Jesus comes, we'll leave it all. So don't get too heavily involved in earthly, temporal things. But, verse 20, get heavily involved in spiritual, eternal things. When you think about your faith promise commitment this morning, not what can I give, but what will God give to me and through me for world evangelization. I never will forget pastoring in Western Kentucky. When we'd have a revival meeting or homecoming or something, we always had a quartet. Now, most of the songs they sung, I really liked them. It's a good quartet, good men. But they sung one song. Every time they came, they sang it. And I was a young preacher and afraid to say anything against it. But I hated it. Now, it might be your favorite song. I'm going to quote some of it, okay? And they'd sing this song. Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land, in the shade of the tree of life that it may ever stand, where I can just hear the angels sing and shake Jesus' hand. Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. And I thought, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard of in my life. They were all together, you know, brothers, and two of them brothers, two of them brother-in-law, and they had a construction company. They built beautiful houses. All of them had beautiful houses. But they're saying, oh, we want to live down here on this earth in the best house we possibly can. But Lord, in heaven, just build me a cabin. Is that dumb or not? Who wants to live for eternity in a cabin? You say, I like cabins. Thank you. You can have my part of them. Amen. My idea is that camping out is Hampton Inn, okay? But the sad thing is, if we're not careful, we get so comfortable, so involved in something down here, and forget that there is eternity. But Peter reminds us that we have an inheritance in heaven that is incorruptible, undefiled, and reserved for us in heaven. Now think about it. It's an old cliche, but it's a good one. One life to live, 'twill soon be passed. But it's only what's done for Christ that will last for eternity. So he tells us about our position. We're children of God. I remember Brother Roloff. Many of you remember him. And ABC was interviewing. They say, they tell me you're a millionaire. He said, oh, no, they're wrong. I'm a billionaire. He said, in fact, I am heir to the entire universe because God is my heavenly Father. Amen. We have a heavenly Father. Dwell on that when you make your faith promise commitment. Then on this, get your priorities right. think about how you're spending money for other things and how much you're giving for the work of God. Paul said it this way, I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others. Now listen to it. And to prove the sincerity of your love. When you fill out this faith promise commitment card this morning, you are proving the sincerity of your love. Is the amount you're thinking about really going to be pleasing to God? Just think about it, okay? One other thing. Look over in verse 31. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now he's saying, don't get overly anxious. Don't be worrying about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live. He said, after all these things the Gentiles seek, people that don't know God. But then he said, now watch this. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. A fellow said to me in Indianapolis, Indiana one time, Brother Sis, if I gave all that I believe God wants me to give for faith promise, my family would starve to death. And I said to him, please, go ahead and do it. We need some Christian martyrs, amen? You're not going to starve to death doing what God tells you to do. Okay? Think about it, okay? Now look at verse 33. Don't be overly anxious. Don't be overly concerned. Don't put all your thinking about where I'm going to live, how am I going to retire, how am I going to... No. Seek ye first. Look at this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Could I paraphrase that verse for you? You say, I don't like paraphrases. I don't either. But this is a Don Sis paraphrase, so it's a good one, okay? Look at it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You take care of my business. And all these things shall be added unto you. And I will take care of you. Is that good or not? You take care of God's business, and God will take care of you. And I'm so glad that, and it's all by the grace of God, but as a young man that I realized, it's not my job to take care of Don Sis. That's my Heavenly Father's job. My job is to take care of my Father's business. Remember what Jesus said? The very first words recorded. What? Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Greatest business in the world. Getting the gospel to the entire world. Paul said to the first Corinthian, the first century church at Corinth. And some have no knowledge of God. I speak that to your shame. I wonder what he would say to us today. 8 billion people, at least one half of them, have never heard the gospel. And then in 2 Corinthians 8, Paul made this statement. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be made rich. Now, he's speaking to Christian people. He didn't say, you know about the grace of God. He said, you have experienced the grace of God. Okay? How many of you have been saved by the grace of God? Lift your hands real high. All right? You have experienced the grace of God. And because Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross was buried and resurrected from the grave. That's the only reason you could lift your hand and say, I've been saved by the grace of God. Then don't you want other people to hear about that? And you're going to prove the sincerity of your love.